Welcome back, creeps. I'm another Toblerone mission here. Dulce is away at work again. She's not away with work, she's just away at work this time. But we do have a very special guest here. Mr. Kev Eustace of... I know you from We Need to Talk About Ghosts and the Dark Paranormal.
Yes.
But lately, I've actually been binging the Dark Paranormal. Because, like I've just said, I've been working a ton. And just trying to stay sane. And I always kind of binge if, like, especially if I'm going to be on someone else's show or doing something with someone else, I'm like, oh, I better get caught up. But months and months ago, because I have been trying to schedule this for ages, I was like, oh, I better get caught up on this. Next thing I knew, I was glued to it. And so all this week, I actually went back to the beginning of Dark Paranormal specifically. And I've just been going like, oh my God. Like, all of these cases are unique, which is difficult, I find, you know, to find stories that are, that haven't been covered by everybody and their granny.
Yeah.
But also there's like the perfect amount of like detail without going into too much detail, which is my problem. And then as well as that, there's the piano track.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's to be honest, it's there's two facets to me as a person in terms of the paranormal. So you've got me to 12, 10 up to 12 is We Need to Talk About Ghosts. And right. And that's just me being an absolute knob, pardon the French, but it is. And that's very Marmite. I probably wouldn't listen to that, honesty, as a paranormal fan. And then the dark paranormal's the more serious side of my interest in the topic, really. Which is, you know, it's deep founded. It's like I was starting ghost clubs when I was five and stuff. You know, it's not a bandwagon jump. It's a sincere lifelong passion. And so I'm kind of what you're saying there about, like, you know, the cases that haven't been covered and stuff. Kind of fortunate in a way that after season one, maybe, I started to get some really good stories coming in from listeners and experiences. And now, thankfully, I mean, we're going to launch season 14 in January because we do them in 10 season, but 10 episode bursts.
Right.
And now there's like between... Christ, it could be anywhere between 50 and 60 submissions that are up for grabs during that season. Because they've got to, I mean, it's tough to try and fit a 30. It's got to be at least, the only criteria is it's got to be at least 30 minutes long.
When
read out. So sometimes there's a lot of back and forth and with the individual where I'm saying, is there anything else you can add to this? Because it's only like 20 minutes long. Or sometimes it's the opposite way, and I'm like, this is an hour and 40 minutes. It's like, you know, it'll take me 5 days to record. So can you trim it down a bit? But yeah, I've been really fortunate. There's been some really standout one, like for me as well, as I'm sure for yourself, as a paranormal fan, you get used to types of stories and you get used to certain tropes, if you will. So it's been an interesting sort of journey when something's cropped up which I'm like, I've not heard of that before, you know, like not necessarily like a superstition, but we had a really good one. Not, I don't know whether it was last season or the season before, but it was from a lay priest. He'd requested to be laicized due to, he was actually chosen by the bishop to be that parish's exorcist after the last one passed. And he thought he had a case of possession. He asked for permission and was refused, even though they've shown all the signs. And it turns out, like, the church is such an administrative run place, the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And I'm a Catholic myself, like, but it's apparently it is. And like the bishop was like, I can't sign off on it unless she's at confession. It's one of the tick boxes, you know, like, and this guy's saying I'm not gonna get it in a confessional. And because they wouldn't help him, and the, apparently when he handed in his notice, so to speak, the bishop completely got it and was like, no, I understand, like, but my hands are tied. But he's, it comes direct from the Pope. Like, he's got a letter from the Pope saying, like, you are no longer considered a priest. Although, if you want to rejoin, weirdly, it's not like, I assumed you'd have to go through, like, the whole rigmarole, but you don't. It's kind of like you just ring and say, I'm back in.
I'm back, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Give me my pass. Badge and gun.
But yeah, like, it's almost like it's a HR issue rather than a...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anything else. Yeah, that is funny, though. I'm probably going to ask a couple of questions that you're sick of hearing, but the one for me that I've found now, like, after doing this for a little while, my beliefs have gone nearly full circle to the point where I was complete, but, like, I'm still a believer. I've always been quite skeptical, like, and Dulce, for those of you who have listened, like, to what's been going on in our house, even the last few months, she'd be the first to say, like, I don't believe when, not when people tell me a story, I believe when it's happened, but when something happens right there on the spot and I'm in it,
yeah,
I'm like, nah, yeah, I don't think, like, do you know what I mean? It must have been the taps or something.
Yeah.
But at the start, I was kind of like all in. And then just maybe in the last year, I was like, you know, I'm actually starting to think now this is all not there, but, like, you know, there's definitely just science behind this.
Yeah.
That's it. And now I've come completely full circle and I'm like, oh my God, there's aliens living in our shoes. Like, do you know what I mean?
Like, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I'm coming around.
But I'm like, we lived in a flat before. We're in a house now. We lived in a flat before this. Still in the city centre, but my partner Becca is quite, well, she's 100% sceptical. But we were in the kitchen one day having an argument about something, or a discussion about something.
Yeah.
And as we're talking away, we the tap in the kitchen was one of those where it was like one lever in the middle of so it was just one lever and you lifted it up and you pushed it to the left for the cold, pushed it to the right for the hot. But you lifted it up to turn it on, basically. And as we both stood there talking, it lifted itself up slowly until it was on full force. And we both watched that happen. And I was like, I took, because in that flat, there was loads that went on. Like, we'd had, like, it was a duplex with the upstairs was the living room and the downstairs was the bedroom. And so the staircase was kind of in the living room, if you like.
Yeah.
And we'd heard like what sounded like a set of house keys drop in the middle of the stairs to the point where we both paused the TV and she was like, go and check what that was. And there was nothing there. And she was like, almost to be next door. But we both witnessed this tap. And I was like, at first, I was like, I told you, get the sun. I'm made up. I'm so made up. And I was like, really chuffed. And then it dawned on me, what an absolute moron. If this is true, something's in your house that's got the capability to do what it wants, when it wants, with whatever it wants. And you're celebrating that fact. And when it dawned on me, I thought, oh, Christ. And she was like, it's the water power. And I was like, pressure. I was like, yeah, it's the water pressure. It's definitely the water pressure. Because the alternative was far too terrifying.
Yeah. And we had, like, I'm trying to remember now. I'll get into the actual, because I have questions for you, because I actually first heard you on Jim Harrell's Campfire. So I'm going to ask you about that.
Okay.
But we went back home in August, September. So I live in Houston. Dulce is from here, Texas, like, and but obviously I'm from Dublin in Ireland.
Yeah.
And we went back for my cousin's wedding, and it was all, this is going to sound very romantic, it's not really, it all happened around my housing estate, but we went for a walk up one hill, which is where, like, my granddad's memorial bench is, right?
Yeah.
While we were up there, I was testing out this new lens that I had on my camera. So I took a zoom shot of the hill facing me. And when I did that, I was like, oh shit, look at that, like, castle over there, right? That I'd never noticed before. So we were like, oh fuck yeah, that's deadly. Let's go find it. So we did, and but we couldn't find how to actually get to it. It's in a farmer's field, and we didn't want to get shot at.
Well, yeah.
So anyway, it turned out I had actually been there before, a couple of years ago, right before I moved, and nothing like extremely weird happened, but we did see these funny lights, me and my friends that I was with.
Yeah.
And it was just this really weird feeling, and the whole time I kept saying, like, that sounds like, it feels like fairy energy, right? Let's call it that.
Yeah.
Kind of trickery, trickstery. So anyway, we go back this time, just a couple of months ago, and we're trying to find the thing. Can't find the way into it. It's in the farmer's field. So we pull into this little car park, and there's just a little walking trail. So we're like, fuck it, we're here now. Let's go for a little ramble. But it's getting dark, and the sun is out, but as soon as you go into the trees, it's pitch dark, right?
Yeah.
And it's me, Dulce, and my two little sisters. And I must actually tell them this because, anyway, we get all the way around and we're come to this opening, and you can see the castle walls like behind the bushes. So I'm like, no, there's definitely a way in here. As we're walking around, I hear a car door slam.
Yeah.
And like, we're not in the middle of nowhere. Do you know what I mean? There's houses all around us.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking nothing. I'm like, okay, whatever. Dulce and my middle sister are directly behind us, about 30 yards. And they're like, oh my God, did you hear that? And I'm like, it's the car door, like, relax.
Yeah.
And they're saying, no, something growled at us. Like, maybe it's a big deer or something. And I'm going, we're not in the, like, we're in Dublin. Like, we're not even up a mountain. We're just on like a walking trail. I was like, yous are grand. Yous heard whatever. Walked away. Couple of weeks ago in work, listening to John Keel's book, Journey to the Center of the Universe, I think it's called, right? And he whips out this story, and it's like a common occurrence around fairies and such is people hearing car doors slamming. And people, having two extremely different experiences while in the same location at the same time.
That's amazing.
And I was just like, I was nearly more annoyed now that I have to go home and tell Dulce, okay, yeah, you were right. Maybe I did hear a car door slam, but actually I think it's fairies. And anyway, not going to tell anybody this in public, but.
Yeah, like, no, we get you. No, it's a fascinating, it's a really fascinating thing that the whole, I mean, John Keel anyway is a bit of a, you know, it's one of those though. It's where you draw the line, and this is the thing where I when I was like very quickly when I was about 16, because as I say, I've always been into this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
A mate of mine's a tarmacker, and he was working in Wales, and he reckons it was an abandoned home he was working in. And he was doing it up for someone who was going to move in like this big mansion. And he was in the library part of it. He stole this book, basically, is the upshot. but he reckons he just found it. He stole it. But it was about astral projection anyway. And he gives me this book, and I jumped right to the chapter on how to do it. Ignored every other chapter in the fucking book.
Yeah, just
right
all the warnings.
Right to chapter 6. And it said, you've got the method that was same as like, look at a clock, close your eyes, visualize the clock still ticking, open your eyes, see if you're right. Keep repeating until you know the clock's time with your eyes closed. Didn't have a clock. So I lay in the top bunk bed that I had and was staring at like the Artex ceiling. And obviously that's not changing, but like I'm trying to visualize it closed. Da, da, da. I had Sergeant Pepper on repeat and I fell asleep, just fell asleep in the middle of the afternoon. And then my dad came in, and obviously I was about 16. It was like a Tuesday afternoon. I wasn't working. I just dropped out of sixth form. So he wasn't too happy that I was just asleep at 3 in the afternoon. Right. So he's like, what are you doing, you lazy bastard? Get out of bed, blah, 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 blah. And I all I remember doing is turning my head and saying, I'll get up now. Get out, sort of thing. So he walked out. I shook my head and put my head back down on the pillow. And the minute I put my head down on that pillow, I was sat upright in bed. And I literally just remember thinking, hold on, I have not moved. So how am I? And before I could finish the thought, I was lying back down in bed and I couldn't move. I had complete paralysis. Oof. And I slowly got pins and needles all over my body. Every inch of my body was pins and needles. And I slowly got my bearings and managed to climb down the ladder and ran downstairs to my still not impressed dad because I was just being a lazy layabout and tried to convince him I'd just come on my body. Which was, as you can tell, not successful because my dad's a Dubliner and
Oh, no way.
yeah, and he doesn't like, you know, he doesn't take much crap, let's put it that
Yeah,
way.
yeah.
So I came back upstairs anyway. And I was then reading through the book properly and I was like, oh shite, there's loads of stuff that I shouldn't have done. And you know. Anyway, what blew me mind about it in terms of like, where do you draw the line here? Because by the same author, that story for me has never changed. That happened, you know, that 100% happened. But by the same author was How to Become Invisible, How to Levitate. Do you know what I mean? And you know, but you're like, hold on, there's gotta be a limit. These, you know, but maybe there's not. Maybe there's not. I don't know.
But I mean, this is just it, though. Like, another thing that happened to me during the summer, I was having these mental synchronicities. Not anything weird else going on really around, just odd synchronicities. And I just kept brushing them off and brushing them off. And then all of a sudden, I was having precognitive dreams, right?
Yeah.
And I was going, this has never happened to me before. And all the synchronicities all started lining up. And I was like, okay. Something weird is happening. I acknowledge this now. But I was like,
how precognitive, like a bang on sorts of stuff?
It was, yeah, same scenarios in different locations, or the same location, different scenario. Like, I literally dreamt of a field of spiders, right?
Yeah.
Woke up and like, I was like, oh, that was clearly a nightmare. I don't even think I've said this on the podcast, actually, but this was the very last thing of it. So anyway, I was in a field of spiders, literally. And it was like every time you stepped, it was like kicking through water, but it was all spiders running away. But anyway, so I get to the edge of the field and there's an owl looking at me. And I'm like, I wake up shaking. And I'm like, God, that was so intense. Like, what a random fucking dream. But it felt so weird that I actually took a note of it just because it was so random. The next week, or like the Sunday after or something like that, I was helping my friend out with a photo shoot. He's this brilliant photographer and I just tag along, basically.
All right.
It was in the fucking field. And I'm not joking. Like, I can't even begin to explain, like, when you stepped out, like through this grass,
yeah,
there was literally spiders running away from you.
God.
And I just happened to have like my work boots in the, my car is completely kitted out for like all sorts of silly emergencies for no reason. So luckily I had my work boots. And when we pulled into this like long grass field, I put it on because we're in Texas and I don't know what can kill you and what can't.
Well, gee, I was going to say, yeah, is this Ireland or is this Texas? If this is Texas, sod that.
Yeah, no. It's 105 degrees. So like 34 Celsius, right?
Yeah.
Dripping sweat and wearing me boots and all. And I'm the first one like just in front of everyone else. So I don't say it about all the spiders because the two girls were in dresses for the photos. And I was like, let's just get in, get the stuff done and get out.
Yeah.
So we do it anyway. We spend the whole day there, literally brushing spiders off the dress and all, like as you're like in between shots. I get home and all of us who were there were just on like a mental buzz. Like, it was one of the best days.
Yeah.
And then I realized the next day, I was like, that's literally the field that I had fucking dreamt of.
That's insanity.
And I was like, what is going on here? Anyway, sorry. So all that to say, I was getting to the point where I was like, hang on, I'm not even believing myself here. Like, I sound like a lunatic.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's one thing, like the people that I work with say, they don't know that I do any of this. I just have occasional conversations that end up talking about ghosts.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just
steer the subject onto it.
Yeah. And sometimes you'll just say like one thing. It's like, oh, sure, there's a ghost story behind that. And you'll get like a funny look and you're like, all right, back away.
Yeah.
But then other people are telling you, yeah, my next door neighbor's a reptilian. And okay.
Well, this is it. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It's a fine line that we tell.
It is. It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing too. I mean, I was just talking about this. I just recorded a Patreon show for someone, And I was talking about, like, because we've done it so, I say wait, because I've done it so long now, like 5-6 years, the you get a spot, like what I call authenticators on people's stories, you know, little things that wouldn't be there if it was made up. Right. Do you know what I mean? So, for example, like, we got a taxi, we watched the new Exorcist film in the pictures. And then we got a cab back, and it was only about 2.5 minutes, the taxi, but it was just bouncing down. And taxi driver's like, oh, what did you go and see? He went, oh, the Exorcist. He went, oh, do you believe in that? I mean, yeah. He went, oh, I've seen one in the Anglican Cathedral graveyard there. I mean, so have you? He went, yeah. He said, and he's talking about, like, it's a shortcut through to another part of up towards Toxteth Ways. And it was the middle of the night, and this girlfriend wanted to go. He didn't want to go because he was, like, crapping himself. But he had to be brave, so he'd done it anyway. And he said he didn't believe, but as he's walking through, he says this old woman just rose up from behind the gravestone and placed her hands on it. And then he described, this is what I mean about an authenticator. He was a proper scal, and he was saying, like, she had on this like an hat, but like it's tied under her chin. And I'm thinking, right, okay. And then he goes, and he goes on anyway to, have you seen that famous, like, sketch of Edward Kelly and John Dee doing the necromancy? It's a very famous sketch. If you just Google John Dee necromancy, you'll see it.
Right.
And who they've conjured up is someone in, like, Edwardian funeral garb. And it's basically a lace bonnet and, like, a ribbed corset, like, and he described that. Now, this guy wouldn't know that, you know?
Yeah.
This is like, and this graveyard is from that era. And this is the key thing. And this story is all within, like, a minute at least. I mean, sorry, at most. And the thing which was the authenticator for me was that he was like, I said to him, so what did it do? Did it just look at you and just ran off? And he went, no, he said, that was the weird thing. He said, it was just staring into this bush. And I thought, you wouldn't add that in. You know, if you're making up a story, you've already got a spooky woman rising up.
Yeah.
There's no need to say it didn't look at us. And it's those little things that, like, jump out at me now when I hear a ghost story. You know, if there's something which is just a bit incongruous, yeah, you think you wouldn't throw that in.
Because if you were going to make it a good story, it's going to jump at you, or exactly, it's going
to
do this.
It stared right through my girlfriend's eyes and started to call her name or something like this. Not just a stared at a bush and ignored us. And do you know what I mean? And so there's these little things which just like, yeah, I believe you. I'm with you.
No, that it's like my granny has this story where she hasn't had many, like, strange encounters. She's haunted by a magpie now that she's convinced is my cousin. But anyway, but when they were in the 50s or 60s, they were not far from where we live in Dublin now, or where my family lives in Dublin. They were going to see to my granddad's house. And for whatever reason, every time they stepped foot on the street across the road, the house was on fire. And it was her and my granddad's sister. And they, like,
and genuinely on fire. Like,
they, like, saw legit. This thing on fire, flames bellowing over, and they stepped back up on the curb out of shock. Yeah. And it was grand. It was no fire.
What?
But then every time, and they couldn't cross the road. And I've asked her this over and over again, like, but what? Like, what happened? And she was like, eventually it just stopped. I mean, we didn't really talk about it after that. Like, that was it.
And it didn't burn down or anything like that. No. As far as you're aware, like.
I mean, the house is still there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, my granddad's brother did die in a house fire in England. Don't know where. But they only found out, like, months after, because, I mean, it was the 60s and I don't know that he had any family or anything over, like, kids or anything like that. So wow. I can't. Yeah. And again, this is one of the things that I keep asking them, but we can't figure out which event would have happened.
Yeah, chronologically. Yeah.
So I don't know. That could be just me, like, trying to connect the dots, but it's so weird and such a random little
definitely
story.
A random one. Yeah. That's great. I like that.
Right, so I think, like I was saying earlier, I probably seem a bit excited. It's because I'm after having 18 cups of coffee already. So I heard you first on Jim Harrell's Campfire. I think I've misspelled this, right? Was it Zozobi?
No, Zozobi, yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
okay.
That's correct, yeah.
Because I had written down Lozobi for whatever reason. And Zozobi.
So Zozobi.
Zozobi. Now, I did Google Zozobi after I heard you tell the story. But I want to hear your story again. It as condensed as you like, or as detailed as you like.
Okay. Well, I know what you'll have found when you'll have Googled it, and that Google wasn't there until my story. So, in a nutshell. So, here's what happened in real terms. In real terms, I worked in a place in Kirby, which is just on the outskirts of Liverpool, in a call centre. And as I say, always been into ghosts. I was like young 20s. And there was a girl I worked with called Belinda. And she says to me, her sister, I think her name was Cecil, not Cecil, Cece or something. Okay. She says, our Cece reckons she's got an invisible friend who like talks to her and does stuff. And I went, no, really? Yeah. She calls him Zozobi. And I was like, really? Like, yeah. And then like as the weeks go on, she'd be like, there was murder in our house last night, because her dad was a long distance driver. And his van keys had gone missing, and they were found on top of this, like on top of the oven, whatever you'd call that, the air conditioning part, the fan bit. Yeah,
yeah.
This little girl had got the blame anyway, but Belinda was saying there's no way she could have reached this, so we were all a bit freaked out. And she was saying Zozobi's done it. It's not me. I watched him do it, and things started to get a bit more like nefarious with Zozobi. Like she'd like things would go missing again, like money would go missing, and she would be the only kid in the house, and she wasn't of the age where she'd be bothered about money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it
wasn't
yeah.
like she was allowed. She wasn't even allowed out on her own, but she'd be saying like Zozobi's took it, and then it'd be found under the couch or something. And it always wanted her to play outside. She'd always say Zozobi wants me to play outside, and her mum would be like, "Well, you can play in the back." And she goes, no, he wants me to play in the street. She goes, well, you're not playing in the street. So so this is going on and on. Anyway, eventually it dies down, it goes away. And about a couple of months later, Belinda comes up to me at work and throws down one of these women's magazines on the desk. It's like, and when I'm not being sexist when I say that, I mean, it's a magazine targeted
yeah, like
towards
Hello
women.
Or something like that.
Exactly, yeah. Or Woman's Own or something.
Right.
And she goes, turns the page like 32 and that. So I do. And it's a picture of a woman with her arms folded, leaning against the kitchen sink, not looking too happy. And it says, the day a ghost tried to kill my child. And it's from a woman down south. And she said her daughter, around the same time, started saying she had an invisible friend called Zozobi. Things were going missing. Things were getting placed in places she couldn't reach. It always wanted to play outside, but this mother allowed it to play in the front yard with her.
Right.
Says, and she witnessed, she was freaked out by it anyway, but the upshot of it being, she looked out of the window and seeing the girl playing with this ball, and she witnessed the ball float in midair and then get thrown in the middle of the street. And the kid ran out into the middle of the street, and a passerby just managed to grab her by the scruff of the neck before the car hit her. And I was like, this is one of the most terrifying things I've ever, you know, because I've had, like 6 months before, I'd had the backstory of Zozobi, and now he's down south. Like causing havoc, and it was such a still get a chill down my spine thinking about it. So anyway, at the time, there was a guy in Liverpool by the name of Tom Slemon who was like writing haunted Liverpool books, and his first one or two were really good because they were stories that were told to him by he had a guest slot on BBC Merseyside, and people would ring up and say, you know, really authentic stories. Like when I was a cleaner at this place, this had happened. So, and he had a forum back in the day, like an internet forum, way back when. And we had a house PC in the back room. It was the one PC. No one had a smartphone. They weren't even out, sort of thing. And I was a member of his forum, and I sent him the story, like verbatim. And he was like, "Wow, thanks for this. I'll look into this." So don't hear back. And anyway, Haunted Liverpool 14 or something comes out because he's clearly onto a winner. He realizes. And all of a sudden, there's a big-nosed Czechoslovakian clown called Zozobi who is terrifying the life out of these. And I was like, "What?" So I emailed him, and was didn't get a response, and was immediately barred from the forum. And I was like,
Oh, man.
"Okay, there we go." So no doubt, when you've Googled Zozobi, I'm pretty sure you'll have seen something about a Czechoslovakian clown.
Yeah, I'll put up a picture here for anybody who is happens to be watching. I upload on Spotify so they can watch the video as well. But yeah, because when I Google it, and this is gone, I can't remember when you were on the campfire, but I remember even thinking at the time, like, this is not what I'm used to. Like, I wouldn't base a story on this. Do you know what I mean? On what I found. Because normally, like, I go on to like HathiTrust and Dúchas.ie, and they're like the historical, you know, you can go back through the and see the newspapers and stuff, the archives. That's the word I'm looking for. But yeah, this is let's see. Personality of Zozobi is, while some accounts show him simply wandering aimlessly, there are more reports of him engaging in much more wicked pastimes. Pastimes misspelled as well. For example, Zozobi is said to enjoy manifesting to sleeping children and blocking off any exits, emitting terrible laughter while observing his victims' fear. But yeah, it's on like villains.fandom.com. It's like there's also ads for the Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer. But like that, it is obviously that story did grow legs, and not in the right way, because it's such a, like, say if John Keel got his hands on that, I feel like there would have been a lot
Well,
more
I mean,
to it.
well, this is it. And the thing that got me is that it didn't need embellishment. It's like, for all we know, there's like about so there could be four people, I say four, just random number, listening to this right now, who have had that experience with their kid with the same name.
That's
Do you
it.
know what
The
I mean? It
name
could
is the
be,
biggest thing.
yeah, it could be. That was the thing that jumped out. It was verbatim the same name in the magazine. And there was no need to turn him into a bloody a clown. It's like, if you're a serious paranormal investigator, this is your starter for 10. Do you know what I mean? It's like this is gold dust sort of thing.
No, that's it. That's kind of the dream. Like, you know, when my hair and beard get longer and I can just travel the world smoking a pipe and solving ghost crimes, like, that sounds like the ideal one to go hunting for, you know what I mean?
Gandalf the ghost hunter, sounds amazing.
But no, I remember, and because it was just a once off, heard on campfire, I didn't remember all those details, to be honest. And that is just absolutely madness. I would love, like, if anybody has had any experience even remotely like that, just like, let Kev know, definitely. DM one of us on Instagram or whatever, because there has to be more to it. Like, there's no way it's just two people and you happen to have heard and read both stories.
I mean, and like I say, when I say down south, I mean down south. I mean, we're in Liverpool, and this was like south of London. Do you know what I mean? They don't know each other. There's no way on earth they knew each other, these two people. And you try and be rational about it, and you say, well, maybe, like, it's because you're talking about really young kids. Maybe when they make up an imaginary friend, they go like, there's a bit. Or they say something which is a nonsensical name or word, but there was just too many coincidences, and it's I don't know. And again, it's one of them. Well, where do you draw the line? Is there a without trying to start a Slenderman-esque sort of thing?
But that's just it.
Is there a Zozobian now? This is a thing. Now he's a thing.
And actually, that's where, like, the whole, I have this argument constantly on Weekly Creep, and I'm going, whether it's haunted or not, or whether Zozobi exists, he probably exists now from us, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a talker. All of a sudden,
it's the Slender Man.
Well, that's my theory on religion now. I mean, I'm a Roman Catholic because we're all Irish.
Yeah.
Heritage.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
I was an altar boy, you know, let's carry on. And but then as I grew up, you learn facts about like history, and you learn about the Council of Nicaea, and they voted on Christ's divinity, and this is all historical fact. And so, you know, but then you have your mystery of faith, if you still believe, and all that carry on. And then, but then I'm now of the opinion, if you look at the Philip experiments and stuff like that, and you know, where they created a tulpa through the power of thought. Okay, if they were able to create Philip through a group of like 12 or however many people it was, giving him a fleshing him out with a backstory and concentrating him and trying to make contact, what do you create when you have billions of people per day getting down on their knees and praying to something? You know, so I'm of the belief that there wasn't a God, there wasn't a devil, there now is.
Now there is.
We've created them. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's funny because my biggest argument is, like, at this stage, I'm so overloaded with different beliefs or whatever that I truly have my own belief now at this point. And I do think it's fairly unique because it's just that I don't know. And I'm not one of these people that will ever say, oh, well, it's this. I might have done in the past, but now I'm aware. I've been humbled. I don't have a clue.
none of us do, really.
Yeah, but like that is my opinion as well. Like the people who believe in the devil are typically the Christians. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Because you got to believe more. You can't not believe in. That's the ultimate irony, isn't it? It's like,
yeah.
Funny enough, speaking about Catholicism, and you know, occasionally you learn something, your ears prick up. I went to my cousin's communion about 5 months ago, and the priest who done it, he's a lovely fellow. He's been there a while, but he was, and he's from Trinidad, I think. But anyway, that's
one of my best mates is from Trinidad, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
he's not a priest, is he?
Yeah, he's not.
But he was saying, like, during this like absolutely rammed church, because everyone's like having the communion, and he's saying, he says, what I want the parents to make sure is that you've got, you know, you I go that you've got things which remind the children that they've just been, you know, confirmed, if you like, into the house of Christ, and blah blah blah. He said, I'm off that. You always get in touch and say, Father, come to my house. Something's not right, and the spirit's in my house. And when I arrive, there's always posters of, and he was saying, like, of like David Bowie. And I was thinking, there's not. But then he was like, and there's never any, like, there's no crucifixes, there's no religious iconography. And then you wonder why you have these things go on. And that's all he said. And then he carried on. And you know, where you're like, what have you seen?
Like, yeah. You know,
and this was like 5 months ago. And I keep saying to my partner, like, I'm going to drop him an email and say, like, for some reason, I always have it in my head. I think it's from an Only Fools and Horses episode. Every church needs help with their roof. So I'm going to say, like, I'll give you a couple of £100 for your roof.
Yeah,
if you're,
just show let me know what you've seen. Loading your roof tiles and be like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I will say, I've asked a priest myself, so bizarre. I was only thinking about this earlier for the first time in years. I used to have dinner with a priest quite regularly.
Oh, yeah.
Weird time in my life. Like, we just both happened to be at the same place at the same time. But I remember asking him one time, I like plucked up the courage. I was like, tell me, Father, what have you seen? You know?
Yeah.
And he quickly doused my hopes. He was like, it's all bollocks. And just continued.
Did you really?
Yeah. Those exact words, bollocks. So I was like, all right, thanks, Padre. But the whole iconography thing even is a weird one, because before we even started this, I had just moved over here like not too long. And this room that I'm in now is just like, it's the spare room, folks. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not so,
you know.
But there was just an old dream catcher up on the wall. And I took it down because we've cats and the cat hair gets everywhere. I took it down. I was moving the telly or something like that. Put it away. for about a week, I was having nightmares, and I never even thought about it, I swear. And I never even thought about it until I came back in and I seen the dream catcher on like wherever it was sitting. And I was like, I don't really believe in this, but I'm going to put it back because these nightmares are actually freaking me out. And I mean, I guess they stopped because that was it. And so I was like, okay, whatever. That's just my mind playing tricks with me. But now my great grandmother passed away like last year, and she was like 97. She was a legend. Like, she'd done some serious traveling, like, before it was really popular to even like travel. Like,
when it was actually hard to travel.
Yeah, like, she'd been to like Morocco and like Israel, actually, places like Mexico and all. Anyway, she had all these random religious artifacts.
Yeah.
Like little trinkets, old lady trinkets. The house was packed, like, full of like weird like cups with a fireman's face on it and all.
Wow.
And so when they were clearing out the house, we actually have a Crying Boy poster. It's not here.
No.
I haven't transported it. Yeah, it's one of the original ones. So my granny's
And after the thing about the stepping off and seeing a burning house, maybe that was a premonition. Don't be getting that poster. Don't be.
But so I told my granny when she was clearing the house, because she was like, is there any, because a lot of it was old shite as well. Like,
yeah.
I said, granny, just anything religious, because I'm a bit weird and I like to have. So now we've got Hindu, Jewish, I think we've something like Muslim artifacts and all. And I've books from a few different religions, but all the books are stolen. So I don't know. I have like a really weird collection at this point. And
no, that's good. That's cool.
Like, we are of the, or I am certainly, like, the belief is in the thing that, the belief that you give it is there. Like, we.
Definitely.
And so, like, God, this has turned into an hour of Tulpa talk, but I actually think that we have haunted the Hellfire Club in Dublin.
Right.
Have you been to Dublin, or have you?
I've been to Dublin, but only on a stag. Granddad's from near the docks, but we didn't get a chance to go because it was just a piss up.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, anyway, the Hellfire Club just is in the hills overlooking Dublin. So you wouldn't see it from the city, but just the outskirts of the city. Anyway, it's one of those, it's nearly like a rite of passage at this stage. Like, kids go up there, there's raves and all go on up there. A lot of bad shit like that. You know, like, anytime we were going up there, we were more afraid of who we were going to bump into. Like, do you know what I mean? Just in case. But one of, I think, three of four times we went up there, we experienced, and I'm talking weird shit, but I'm convinced now, looking back, that it was actually us being so afraid that we made us experience this. Like,
That's one of my biggest beliefs also, is that I always say, I think you've got two levels in your brain. You've got what you know can happen and what you think can happen. And when these two things meet, things happen. So, you know, you can open a door. You think you can open a door, you open a door, for example. But you think ghosts might exist, but you know they don't. So they never meet. And the more you talk about ghosts, and the more you get talk, you know, because all these stories start with, we were doing the Ouija board, and then we were telling ghost stories, and then we were going up to the Hellfire Club, and then. And I think eventually you convince yourself, and these two things meet. And when they meet, if enough people meet at the same time, that's when something will fly off the wall. You know, a reality is formed, if you like.
And like, another big thing that I definitely believe in is, maybe something didn't necessarily happen, but you experienced it, and therefore it happened. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, because I can touch this computer screen. It doesn't mean you're on it. This could all be hallucinations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I might just be absolutely mental, but you know.
I'm going to wake up now in a few minutes and I'll be standing at the panel that I was just wiring, listening to Dark Paranormal. That's the biggest nightmare, man. Anyway, you and Emma from Real Life Ghost Stories went to the Haunted Hotel. I actually don't know the name of it.
I think it's called the King Charles. I think in Chester.
I'll leave a link to the YouTube channel though, because he's actually doing, like, it's a pretty good series. I've watched a few episodes.
To be
now,
fair, yeah, it's, you know, what the guy Danny, his name is, I think. What they're doing is a really good idea. You know, it's a genuinely legit thing, and like I can say that. I mean, they edit it well. I'll say that much. Because right. people have asked, is there any fakery? And I'll say hands down, there's no fakery. There's clever editing, so there might be, you know, like where me and Emma were a bit like, well, that didn't happen at that exact minute, for example.
Right.
But
right.
the rest of it, I mean, there was a part of it, genuinely, one of the most, like, almost synchronistic part that did take place. There's a bit in it where I'm walking around this alleged haunted doll 6 times. Meanwhile, Emma's in another haunted room lying on a bed. And whilst I'm walking around this doll, I'm saying to this doll, go on, do something, you know, prove that you're possessed, sort of thing. And as I'm saying this, Emma gets kicked from underneath the bed. And she's like on the walkie-talkie to them, going to the guys, going, somebody just knocked on, something's just kicked from under the bed. But at the same time, it then cuts back to me genuinely walking around thing. And that was at the same time, because they'd separated us at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to do two separate things. And they'd done a really interesting thing with frequencies at the end as well, which did set off a REM pod. And that was arguably one of the most convincing things I've ever experienced in terms of, you know, like a buildup of energy through fear. Right. It was legit. It was like really good, really good.
I think from a nerd's point of view, like, and that's the thing, you talk about clever editing, but like I say, the only thing more boring than ghost hunting is reading about ghost hunting.
Yeah.
Because you could be sitting there for 6 hours.
Oh yeah,
and gotcha. One thing happens. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, when you watch these things, you have to expect a certain amount of that. But it's funny because I was reading a book for an upcoming episode, and they were saying about this phantom water was forming in the house.
Mm.
And at first they were like, it's a council house, get the council in. Council couldn't figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
And then the water proved to be intelligent. Like it would form. What? Yeah. So this family were having rainstorms in their house.
Amazing.
And then the water would just disappear. But it was different to say like the Pontefract or the Enfield. I think Enfield was the same, where like the pools of water would just appear.
Yeah.
That was on the ground. This was falling from the ceiling and seeming to be like aiming at specific people.
No way.
Yeah. But the thing that actually got me was, they managed to get a sample of the water, and when they tested it, they managed to find that it was there's so many positively charged ions or some crap like that. I'm not a
scientist. Yeah.
But it was over 1,000 times what your regular tap water would be.
No.
So
way.
It was basically like this magic electrical water that showed up. But it was interesting because the frequency, like you were saying, is like, that's where, in my head, as an electrician, I just went straight to like, maybe it was actually just following the electrical cables.
Maybe, and, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because the EMF flow was like following it. But, that's mad, though.
I do think that, I mean, I was reading a story, I was listening to someone who was saying that if someone's offered water in a house where they know there's been an argument, they won't take it because they've got a belief that water can store emotion and stuff like this.
That's very interesting, actually.
And it is very interesting. And it's like, I don't know whether, I mean, because I've, like I say, you know, this is a lifetime passion sort of thing. So there's not one thing I haven't done when it comes to like trying to raise the dead. So like, if you've ever done any EVP sessions with running water, it's a really interesting thing to do because it works a lot better than static, for example, or just asking out into an empty room. If you've got a tap running and you ask, you know, is there anyone there? I mean, it could be audible pareidolia, definitely.
Yeah.
More than likely is. But it's also interesting because I'm a songwriter as well.
Right.
And I'll always put Spotify on and then get in the shower. And sometimes I'll put the volume a bit too low accidentally. And I'll be in the shower and I'm hearing a song and the song's brilliant. And I'm like, this is dead good. And then the shower stops and it's Foo Fighters, The Best to You. And I'm like, that's not the song I've just heard. And I'll jump out the shower and grab the guitar and write the song I've just heard. Because
no
my brain
way.
Create, you know, it's heard
yeah.
that song through the water. So water's definitely got something going on with it that people need to know.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. And it's like the old trope as well, like, you know, it, a body of water holds so much, like, you know, there's always ghost stories there. And if you buy a house and they're running water, you know, they say like transient yeah. energies and stuff. So definitely,
yeah.
real quick, tell me about this kidnapping thing. What? That oh, was like shit, such yeah. a vague message. I was like, hang on, what?
No, I mean, to be honest, this is like, again, gospel truth. One of the scariest, if not the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. And it's not, well, it is paranormal, but it's not about me so much. So anyway, when I was about 16, I had a really deep voice, but I've never been a big guy, you know, and
right.
I spoke to some guy from Kirby again, and he was a playwright, and he wanted me to play a young John Lennon in something, in a play, obviously. So he invited me to this place on Bold Street in Liverpool called Cafe Tabac. Now, Bold Street's allegedly got loads of time slips, like not just fictional ones, like alleged real ones.
Yeah, I actually recognise the name from hearing about yeah. time slips. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But Cafe Tabac at that time was like a little bit of a hobo chic hub sort of thing. Anyway, I goes in, and again, I was about 16, 17, and they're all sat in a circle. I'm the last one there, and I squeeze in next to this fella, so like make a bit of a corner of this circle, if you like. And Mark Cuddy, his name was, and he goes, he says, "This is Kev, everyone." He goes, and he introduces everyone. Finally, he goes, "And this is Steve," and he does the sound. No, I think he says, "This is Steve," and he does the sound and gestures to this fella to the left of me. So I go, "Ah, yeah." Anyway, we carry on talking about the play. This fella says nothing throughout. So as it dies down, I obviously say, "Anyone got any good ghost stories?" and we move on to ghosts. We talk about ghosts. And then we leave and we come out, and they're all going to they're all going to Central Station. I'm going to Lime Street. And Steve, the sound guy, comes out after me and says, "Sorry, are you going to Lime Street?" I said, "Yeah, I live in Highton." He said, "I live in Highton." He said, "And I'm driving. Do you want a lift?" So I went, "Yeah, yeah, definitely. Nice one." So get in the car, all nice and easy. And he goes, as he's driving, he goes, "I couldn't help but over here, you're really into ghosts and stuff." And I said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." I said, "Like, really am." And he starts rubbing his chin as he's driving. He's like, he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "But and he's like, he's getting proper agitated. He's like, "But I don't know whether I should." And I was like, "Oh, you can't say that. You've got to tell me now." And he goes, "I just don't want to pass anything on." Now, when he said that was the first red flag, I was like, "Okay." What? And then he says, he went, "All right, I'll tell you." And he said, "But you can't tell no what I've told every fucking person now." So he said a few years beforehand, him and his wife and their two kids went to Glastonbury, but not the festival, just the place. And they were camping there, and they were staying by the tour, like the building with the turret on top. And he had a VCR camera, he said, and he was filming his kids. And he just like glanced the camera up at the top of the tour to look at the turret on top. He said, and when he looked, he said, there was these white figures walking around the turret.
Whoa.
He said, so he zoomed in on them. He said, and as he zoomed in on them, he said, they stopped and one turned and looked. He said, so he quickly just moved the camera back to his kids. He said, and he didn't think nothing more of it. He said, anyway, he said, he's getting more het up as he's telling me this. He says, and when I get home, he says, there's a letter already there. He said, and there's no stamp on it. He said, there's no address. He said, and it just said, it's inside, it says, "You've seen something you shouldn't have." He said, and there's dead insects inside it. And I'm like, right. And I'm 17, 16, 17. I'm starting to get really scared.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, but then it starts happening. He says, my kids start waking up at like 2 a.m. screaming, saying there's someone in the room. He said, I seen a blue flash outside the window. He said, like it was just hovering outside the bedroom window. And then he says, anyway, one day, the wife says, put the video on at the holiday. He said, so we put the video on. He says, and the moment that I look at the tour and zoom in at this fella's face, he says, at that exact moment when he turns and looks at the camera, he says, the view is no longer of him, it's of us, and we're upside down, and it's black and white. He said, and then the camera shuts off. He said, and I was like, what? And at this moment, I'm like, and he was like, he said, and honestly, he said for about two, three years after, he said, I was cursed. He said, everything that, like, he said, I lost my job, this happened, that happened. But he's getting, his eyes are going wider, and to the point where I'm thinking, I'm scared of your story, but I'm now scared of you.
Yeah.
So I, like, about four streets away from ours, I was like, I'm all right here. I thought, you don't know where I live.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, talking about, like, the Catholicism, I jumped out of his car and said, thank you, see ya. And I ran home saying the Hail Mary. I was that scared, like, repeatedly. I was that terrified. And I'd never normally do anything like that extreme. Anyway, get home. The next morning, Mark, the playwright, rung to let me know that I didn't get the parts because I wasn't as big as I sounded.
Okay.
And I was like, fair enough. I said, I didn't think he did anything. I could
Yeah.
sort of tell. And I said, I tell you what, that's Steve's intensity. I said, and he was like, what do you mean? And I said, he gave me a lift home last night. He said, Steve wasn't there. And I said, the sound guy, the fella you introduced as Steve. He said, I didn't introduce anyone as Steve. I said, you pointed at a guy and said, Steve does the sound. He said, no, I just gestured and Steve's doing the sound. I said, so who was the fella sat next to me? He went, I don't know, he was there when we turned up.
Oh my God,
And he just sat there and listened to the entire conversation and gave me a bloody lift home. I could be under a bridge somewhere. You know what I mean?
that's
That was,
Jesus. What's
and I don't know what's
scarier
scarier. Exactly.
then?
Yeah, that's the thing. No idea what's more scary.
Oh man, that actually sounds like something from like the Sinister films or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know what the thing is, right? I've told that on numerous podcasts, when people have asked what's been like your most sincere, terrifying thing.
Yeah.
And it's that for both reasons. But I also get a bit freaked out that because he was clearly into the paranormal, he could be listening to that. And he might not be the full shilling, if you
So,
know what I mean.
yeah.
So I thought I'd do it again today.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, look, hopefully we'll find the right people with this episode.
So we're looking for Zozobians and this dude from Glasgow, but yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that the reason why I was extra nosy about that is because it's actually the second kidnapping story I've heard this week. I
Yes.
swear to God, yeah. So living in Texas, I've met a lot of like, this is the Wild West. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. It's still today is the Wild West. Like,
Yeah.
people are out here wearing cowboy hats and boots. Guns on their belt, like it's not even a
Wow.
joke. This is how they were raised, and I actually admire them for literally sticking to their guns. But there's an old boy at work. I call him Uncle Carl. If he ever sees this, how are you, Carl? He turned around the other day and he was like, "Oh man, that's just like that time I got kidnapped at gunpoint." They ever tell you that story? And I was like, "Hang on, what?"
That's not a random thing. Did I ever
Yeah,
tell you when?
because and he's an absolute storyteller. He's a legend, but he's all into his conspiracy theories now because he's
Oh,
the
fair enough.
prime target age, like, you know what I mean? So and like not the cool conspiracy theories.
I see.
Like, yeah, he drinks a little bit of not bleach, what's the other stuff? Anyway,
Yeah, the
yeah, he
horse
drinks
thingy.
yeah, he drinks a little bit of that every day. Just to keep him on his toes. But I mean, he's 66 and
Fair enough.
yeah, anyway, but yeah, that's, he turned around, I was like, yeah, man. Yeah, brother. I was kidnapped the other day. Everybody's brother. But now look,
Wow.
I really appreciate having you on here. One, because I'm after binging the podcast and now I'm a genuine listener as well as just, you know,
Yeah,
trying to expand the friend side of the podcast as well. Like,
yeah.
tell everybody where you want them to find you, because now you have like multiple different kind of channels
Yeah,
going or streams or whatever.
to be honest with you, mate, it's entirely down to their choice of poison, really. If they wanna laugh and slightly paranormal, it's getting less paranormal, if I'm being honest. Ironically, given the title, but go to We Need to Talk About Ghosts. The more successful show is The Dark Paranormal. That's more straight laced. That's dramatically read retellings of people's genuine events. And I've just started a true crime podcast called The Deadly Countdown, but that's in its infancy and season two. Season two of that and season 14 of The Dark Paranormal both start on January the 5th. So probably
Brilliant.
head down that way.
Sound, and I will have my notifications on that day.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, now, like I said, it is actually great. I've been like engrossed in The Dark Paranormal in particular. So much so that I'm actually planning to steal your kind of your nice piano background and stuff for in the new year for some Just Deaf and Ghost stories is what I do when Ghost is not
I've
around.
seen, yeah.
Yeah, so
It
but
just
no.
adds a nice little bit of atmosphere. And it also, it had a catalogue of misdemeanors in terms of background noise as well.
That's just it. I don't know if you heard, we have a fucking rogue ice cream man. And we also, yeah, I swear to God, I'm convinced he's not even an ice cream man. Oh, I also need to apologize for any really bad Derek Acora impressions that I've done.